This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm back. Missed the last couple of weeks, Gabe Neitzel, although band not quite back together. We're still missing Brian Rowitz this week, but from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, we also have Jonathan Hood. What's going on, buddy? Been a couple of weeks. I'm excited to talk some wrestling, some squirrel circle action.
Well, I've been here. I don't know what you guys are doing. We mentioned that you were setting up the chairs and everything and the catering in Green Bay at the Rush Center for Monday Night Raw. And then the following week, we said that you were putting the chairs back and the tables back at the Rush Center, making sure everything was set up. So yeoman's work for setting up that Raw a couple of weeks ago in Green Bay.
Well, you know, you got to do whatever you can. You know, you try to help out wherever you can. And I mean, look, we're excited because SummerSlam is here. SummerSlam coming up Saturday night. And oh, by the way, we're going to have a special live reaction show. Hopefully everybody should be able to make it for that. Myself, Jay Hood, and Brian Rowitz going to be a part of an exciting SummerSlam reaction show. So tune into our YouTube page immediately following SummerSlam and we'll give our initial reactions. So that's where we begin. Is SummerSlam in Cleveland? How many title changes are going to happen at SummerSlam? What are you laughing at?
Well, first of all, I enjoy your 2007 graphics from WWE.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is what happens. Broich leaves, like, I know that doesn't look right, and I'm like, this doesn't look right, but I just don't know how to change it. So, you know, this is the graphics package we have if you happen to be watching this on YouTube.
Is Brian Kendrick in WWE? That's those graphics. What do you got there?
It's like, I don't know, man. Like, it's just, I think it's cool. Know,
I think it's a good change of pace. I'm no complaining. I just looked at that. I'm like, wait a minute. It's like, wait a minute. Is Kurt Angle the WWE champion? Those old SmackDown graphics.
SmackDown 6?
That's what it looks like.
Where's Paul Heyman at?
What is that? How many title changes at SummerSlam? Well, Brian, first of all, it's typical Triple H to make sure that it's about quality, not quantity. Easily, he could put together maybe 10, 12 matches, but he's not doing that. As a matter of fact, as we record this, as far as we know, the tag team championships are not defended at SummerSlam, which is odd because there's a Cleveland feel to the tag team champions. Is it not with Johnny Gargano?
Oh, yeah. And we just had a gauntlet match last week to determine the number one contenders over on SmackDown, where DIY are your current tag team champions. As we speak right now, there have only been 7 matches officially added to the card. Even for a Triple H show, I think that feels a little light, so I would not be surprised if they end up adding tag team matches to this card. Like, that would not be shocking to me. But other than that, I mean, other than Punk and Drew, everything else, there's a championship on the line. There's 6 championships on the line, and then only the one grudge match with Punk and Drew.
Because I was going to say, like, maybe Bloodline 2.0 would have their opportunity, but that's not what's happening here. So what I would say is that the IC Championship matchup with Bron Breakker against Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was a guest on Good Karma Wrestling. Of course, you and I bowed out of the interviews. That way, Brian could have a one-on-one with Sami Zayn.
His dream could come true.
Yes. People did not see the cigarette that Brian was smoking afterwards from that post-wrestling interview sex he had with Sami Zayn. Nonetheless, I think that Bron Breakker, I think it's his time, man. He's hot right now, Gabe. Mm-hmm. I think that it would not surprise me if Bron Breakker is able to beat Sami Zayn and capture his first gold in SummerSlam. That's one.
Look, and at this point, I think there are going to be some bigger and better things for Sami down the line. He had a very nice Intercontinental Championship run here. He's established, man. Like, he is one of the WWE's guys after everything he did through the Bloodline and then winning the tag team championships with KO. Like, yeah, now it's time to make another guy. I think now is the time for Bron Breakker to ascend. You know, he shockingly did not win in the last premium live event. Sami Zayn retained there. So I think it's time for Bron Breakker to become the new Intercontinental Championship. So I'm on board with you there for that is the first title change.
The other one I'm going with is I think it's time now for Gunther to be the World Heavyweight Champion and take on Damian Priest. I really liked, and I've talked about this a couple of times in the show, but Gabe, I want to talk to you about this. I really like how the WWE was able to put together a story between these two, because on the surface, it's like, oh, big man match, right? big man match, big man against big man. It's Damian Priest against Gunther. But as you see, the story has been told that Gunther says, I'm a two-parent family, and I'm from privilege, and I didn't want to come to WWE. WWE want to come to me. And Damian Priest is street trash, according to Gunther. And so Damian Priest had a tough upbringing in New York. And so I like how the story's been told that there is a difference between the two, and now the match is going to culminate at SummerSlam.
Is Judgment Day, are they all going to be baby faces at the end of Saturday night? Like, as long as we're there, because I've just been thinking about this, just kind of watching Raw and how everything's playing out. And I am saying besides Dom, like in my fantasy booking world here, Dom aligns himself with Liv, turns on Rhea Ripley. That's how Liv retains, by the way. But because Dom can't be a babyface. Like, you just can't be a babyface. Just sorry, that's not the way it is. But there have been kind of some babyface tendencies coming out of everybody else. Like, Rhea Ripley, clearly over. She's going to be a babyface, especially after Dom turns on her. So it's like the rest of the group has to almost turn, and they've been slowly getting there with, you know, Finn Balor wanting to, hey, I've got to defend the group. This is on me. I got to take care of this. Priest coming out to save him at the end of that matchup on Monday night. Obviously, Carlito, if he's a part of the group, if he ends up being the replacement for Dom, I mean, I think he can kind of fit into whatever babyface thing they do. But it kind of feels like, especially because the way that they built this feud of, okay, this is kind of two heels, but the way that they built it, the babyface for this matchup is Damian Priest. Like, you are rooting, if you are a fan, you are rooting for Damian Priest to give Gunther what you think he deserves. Like, oh no, this guy from Privilege? No, I'm rooting for Damian Priest, man. He's the one who had to grind and get here and do all those things. It kind of also, not only does it give you babyface and heel in the matchup for that championship, I think it also plants the seeds for, well, I think the group's going to turn babyface, especially if Dom turns on Saturday.
Well, long-term storytelling, right? Because we talked about this on the show. Like, months ago, we saw like a face-off between the Judgment Day and Imperium. And we say, what's with this? Yeah, two heel groups that don't like each other. And like, Damian Priest wanted to take a shot at Gunther and all this and back and forth. It's like, oh, that's strange. And now it's come to this. I believe that with Judgment Day, there's two constants that are heels. No one's ever going to like Dom. No one's ever going to like JD. The rest of them are baby faces. And Carlito's Carlito's like, whatever. I mean, seriously. I mean, because I think that, but it makes it a very unique group, though, Gabe, because usually they're baby faces or heels. There's no in between. And you decide who you like, who you don't like. With this, it's like, here's parts. Who doesn't like Rhea Ripley? Who doesn't like Damian Priest? Who doesn't respect Finn Balor? And then you got JD, who people don't like. And then there's Dom, who gets booed all over the country.
Yeah, and I think, again, he's about to do something that the entire WWE universe is not going to like on Saturday. I also think that I think Nia Jax is walking away as champion. I think she's going to beat Bayley. I don't know. It just kind of feels like it's Bayley's time. Like, I was on board with Bayley winning the championship when she did, but not much has happened with it. So I think it's kind of time for the WWE Women's Championship to get a new champion. And look, ever since Nia Jax has come back, she's done some pretty good work, man. Like, I think she has earned this opportunity if that's the direction that they seem to go. So I think that one seems likely to me. And realistically, I think you could talk me into potentially 5 out of the 6. The only one I don't see happening, like, Solo's not going to beat Cody.
Right.
I don't see Solo being, you know, the undisputed WWE champion. But in the other 5, like, could LA Knight beat Logan Paul? Absolutely. Like, you could talk me into that. Especially because it seems like LA Knight's been on the cusp of winning WWE gold. So I think that 5 out of the 6 certainly could happen. Now, I don't think all 5 end up happening. That seems like a lot of championship changes, even one show, even though it's a big show like SummerSlam. But I'd be willing to bet that at least 3 of them happen.
Yeah, even TNA would say that's too many title changes on one show. That's just a line because Slammiversary, I think they have all babyface. I think there was 4 title changes in Montreal, which is what? You don't need 3 or 4 changes. And all babyfaces. It's all babyface champions across the board. So here's a question for you regarding LA Knight and Logan Paul.
Okay.
Does Logan Paul become the babyface in that match? Does LA Knight get booed because they're in Cleveland? It's LA and it's Logan Paul's city.
I don't know, because I don't know how Cleveland feels about him. Most because for the most part, except for this past Friday when he actually mentioned, "Oh, Cleveland, my hometown."
Yeah,
like for the most part, like he's been billed from Puerto Rico more than he's been billed from Cleveland, Ohio, right? Like even though because he trains out of Puerto Rico, so and I kind of look at it the same way when The Miz, who's from Cleveland and now hosting SummerSlam, but for he's from Cleveland, but he's billed out of Hollywood, California, right? Like he's Cleveland, he's left Cleveland behind, so. I don't know, because I just don't know how Cleveland feels about Logan Paul. I don't know if they're looking at this as, oh, hey, this is our guy coming back, or if this is, yeah, he was born here, but he doesn't really claim us enough. So I am curious to see how that does play out. I have a hard time picturing LA Knight getting booed, though.
So I'm wondering about that. You know, with this, some of these PLEs, you just never know. There could be an international audience in there, and they could just gum up the works by just you know, just doing the opposite. And now that you plant that seed, by the way, of Logan Paul working out in Puerto Rico, so now I'm have to start a fund for you and Mrs. Neitzel. Now you got to go down there to see him and the next PLE. Like, you can't be here doing the show next time that there's a PLE in Puerto Rico. You have to go.
All right, we're going. I'll tell you what. I promise. Next time there's a PLE in Puerto Rico, which by the way should be happening soon, given how well it went over in 2023. We will take a vacation around it, and we will go to the show.
Because I know that's one of your bigger wrestling regrets over the last 5 years.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
To see that live. That, I mean, I told you when I was watching. There had been wrestling there in Puerto Rico. You can see people with WCW shirts where the big boys play. That's how long it's been. 90s. I got an old wrestling shirt here. You know what? Like, it still works. Yeah, sure.
Every once in a while when I want to feel alive, I go back and watch that Bad Bunny entrance. Like, it just like is going to inject energy right into your soul. That's how good that was.
Just take me back. God, I've just never I don't know why that still sticks with me. You would think, just another wrestling. No. Just what we just saw there, just like, oh my God. Like the, it was magic, man. The walls were crying. It was just so much, just so much heat and just so much joy, wrestling joy in that building in Puerto Rico. But yeah, so I look forward to seeing what SummerSlam brings, but I think you and I are on the same page when it comes to Solo Sikoa and Cody Rhodes as well. This is on WWE. They're building this Bloodline 2.0. Fine. But the thing that you lead into this that's still unproven is Solo Sikoa hasn't had enough matches for you even to believe a little bit that he could be able to win the championship against Cody Rhodes. That's on WWE. You built a tribal chief that doesn't wrestle at all.
In fairness, that was, you know, the blueprint from the previous tribal chief, but that tribal chief also had, you know, how many ever WrestleMania main events that he had already in the back pocket. So he was already established where Solo has not been. Like at this point, Jacob Fatu feels like a more legitimate threat. If they put Jacob Fatu in this match, like he would feel more of a legitimate threat versus Cody than Solo, right? Correct. Like what's Solo got? The win against John Cena?
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And so that's why, and this is in the conversation we had last week, Gabe, was, you know, what should be the main event of SummerSlam? Cody and Solo doesn't seem like that should be the main event. I know it's for this championship, but it doesn't feel strong like the other matches. I want you to comment on that too, because I want you to tell us what you think should be the main event of SummerSlam.
What should be the main event of SummerSlam is Drew versus CM Punk. That should be the main event. Even though that's the only one without a title, that is the one that over the last how many ever months, right? So really, realistically, the last 7 months, ever since the Royal Rumble, so the end of January, and then we find out Punk is hurt, they have been building towards this match for 7 months, and they have done a hell of a job, like an absolute hell of a job, because Punk hasn't been able to wrestle, and they have kept this feud alive. That should be the main event. That is the one, as a fan, I am most invested in. It is the one that the WWE has put the most work into. That being said, Cody versus Solo, I think will only main event. The actual main event could be Priest versus Gunther. But I think if Cody versus Solo main events, we're getting somebody's return. Whether that's Roman, whether that's Paul, whether that's the both of them, whether that's Jimmy, and we it, this begins the start of Bloodline Civil War 2.0. If that match main events, to me, that means we're getting return, and it's going to be a rather big return to springboard into Raw on Monday, SmackDown next Friday, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Could you imagine a couple of crossroads by Cody Rhodes on Solo Sikoa, and then he holds a belt up on the second rope, and then goodnight, everybody? Oh, no. And nothing happens after that? Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. That something has to happen in Cleveland for the moment. Don't wait till Raw. Don't wait for SmackDown. It has to happen in Cleveland. If it doesn't, that's going to be a major problem. It can't be just, whoa, I retained the championship. Not good enough.
Yeah, 100%. We'll get to more of Bloodline Punk Drew coming up in just a little bit. But as we dive into our three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling, we turn our attention to AEW and something that happened last night. Bryan Danielson, who we already knew was going to be taking on Swerve Strickland for the AEW championship at Wembley and All In, put an interesting stipulation out there and laid everything out for us. So obviously he is signing some sort of extension or has some handshake deal with AEW and Tony Khan, because he said, well, his contract expires today. Today is the last day, yesterday was the last day of his contract with AEW. Obviously he's wrestling the pay-per-view. And he has always been careful to say that when his daughter turned 8, he made the promise that he would be done as a full-time professional wrestler. Full-time professional wrestler, which everybody took note of and said, okay, that means we're still going to get Bryan Danielson a couple of times a year. So he comes out last night and puts the stipulation onto the AEW World Championship match, which without a doubt is now headlining and will be the main event of Wembley and All In. His career is on the line. He said he will never wrestle again if he loses to Swerve Strickland, which brings us to our question. Do you want to see Bryan Danielson as the AEW World Champ?
Yes. Yes, I do. However, we know that Bryan Danielson is not an old carny wrestler. Because if he's an old carny wrestler, we'd see him show up in Cleveland at SummerSlam on Saturday with no AEW contract.
Oh, yeah, right?
It would be like the old days of, wait a minute, is that Rick Rude on Nitro and on Raw? How did that happen? Well, one's taped and one's not, because the contract's up. Lex Luger's on Nitro. How did that happen? Well, his contract's up and they didn't take care of it. But here's Danielson with the handshake agreement, clearly, because you're right. As we record this today, he's out of contract in AEW. Could you imagine him just taking a step away, ruining the main event? But he won't do that, though. Bryan Danielson is world champion. I think that stipulation is pretty heavy, pretty heavy. This is no shot at Swerve Strickland. However, because Brian's retiring, I'd like to see him be world champion. And I'd like to have an added stipulation after he wins the championship in Wembley. And that is that I'm not supposed to be champion. I'm so glad I was able to achieve this, but I promised my family I'm going to retire. So the next person that I face, you could have my championship and I will retire. My next loss will be my retirement match.
The old Ric Flair going into WrestleMania.
Yes.
How many ever matches he had that year of, oh, the next match is the one he's, the next loss is the one he's retiring.
And on that roster, that could be anybody. As good as that roster is on a random Dynamite collision or pay-per-view for them, that could be anybody. And he could be out there as the champion as long as he wants. But I would say, Gabe, that that's the right thing to do. I'm glad that the stakes are higher now. I'm glad they are. I don't see Danielson losing this match now. Because I just think it's fascinating that Jeff Jarrett talked to him and it kind of got him motivated to do that promo in Greenville on Wednesday night. And so I'm looking forward to it now. But I'd like to see Danielson come out on top. This is no shot at Swerve. Swerve will probably be a champion again at some point down the line.
I do want to see Bryan Danielson as AEW champion, and I thought it was going to happen long before the end of this month at Wembley Stadium. And I want to see him be as AEW world champion because, selfishly, I don't want him to retire. But I want at least the option. And I maybe I'm wrong to believe that Bryan Danielson would actually stay retired because no one has actually ever in the history of professional wrestling ever actually stayed retired with that first retirement. Right? They all come back. Mm-hmm. The one holdout I thought we were ever going to get was HBK. He came back and that was bad for business. That was bad for everybody involved.
when
we did DX versus Brothers of Destruction in Saudi Arabia.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But Stone Cold came back. You know, these retirements never last in professional wrestling. Hell, Ric Flair's talking about doing another last match, right? They never actually stay retired. But I actually believe that Danielson would stay away. And honestly, I think he would just leave AEW altogether because I think he seems like, not that we actually know any of these people, right? But he just kind of seems like the guy, if he is some sort of backstage producer or some sort of right-hand man to Tony Khan, if he's around it that much, I don't think he's going to be able to help himself. Like, he's going to have to get into that ring. And I think he may realize that, which is why he may just go away. And this has become more than just, I'll be retiring from full time to, I'm never going to wrestle again.
I think it's great that we can't figure this out yet.
It's fantastic because if he loses, I will be shocked. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to convince myself into Bryan Danielson retiring, actually. But if he loses, I will be surprised.
They just sold more tickets in Wembley for this, I would imagine. I'm not looking at WrestleTix, but I'm sure now that those stakes have been heightened, I would imagine people are like, you know what? If I go, I might be seeing Danielson's last match or see him as world champion. Either way, I win. I'm going to buy some tickets. I got to go see this in person. Say, for instance, he loses. If he loses, Danielson, and Swerve retains, Gabe, the sky's the limit for Swerve. It is. Until that matchup against Will Ospreay, whenever that is, right? I don't know when that would be. But, I mean, after that, it would be Ospreay against Swerve, which we all thought we were going – a lot of us thought that we're going to get that match anyway. So, either way, it is very intriguing. That is for sure.
Yeah, I'm pumped up for it. And I was pretty excited for it in the first place, right? Like, Swerve versus Danielson, AEW championship on the line. I'm excited. This just heightens it all. It makes you, to me, lock in to that even more. It's going to make the next few weeks, because obviously Danielson's going to be wrestling going in. Like, he was pissed off walking backstage. You mentioned Jeff Jarrett. He's going to be wrestling Jeff Jarrett next week on Dynamite. He's probably going to be getting a couple more matches in before we get to Wembley and all in.
Can I just tell you something? We should pull the curtain back. You and I, as talk show hosts, you know, in our shoot job, talking sports all the time, right?
Yeah.
In our shoot job at ESPN Radio and ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Chicago, we could pick up the phone or text someone from the Packers or from the Bears or from any of the teams in our market and get information or ask, hey, have you heard about this? Can you confirm that? We can do that. We've been doing this a long time that we can find someone that can confirm a story. In wrestling, it's a little bit strange that way where some are willing to tell you everything, or at least their philosophy, and it may not be true. And to try to find out what's really going on, sometimes they're a little bit skittish on giving you that information. Like, here's the reason why I set it up this way. I don't know how hurt Bryan Danielson is, and I've not asked yet in AEW. I could text somebody and ask, but that's the one thing I would wonder. If he loses, is it because, hey man, I can't run? Now he's gonna take on Jeff Jarrett coming up next Wednesday. I don't know how many more matches he's got left. I don't know how hurt he is, but when we watch his matches, he looks like he's on death's door, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, I mean he's I couldn't tell you the last time I saw him on TV without any KT tape when he's wrestling, right? Like, he's got KT tape everywhere. But again, that could just be a part of, like, he's certainly beat up. Like, his body's beat up. I don't think that he's putting himself in too much risk if he's wrestling more. Because, this is a guy who's had to miss a significant amount of time in his AEW career because of some of the injuries that he's suffered. So, because of the fact that he's wrestling on Dynamite, and I'm guessing he's going to wrestle a couple of more matches in the run-up to All In, my guess is, yeah, while he's beat up, it's not anything super serious. Otherwise, he would just be up sitting there waiting for this match at Wembley, and they would be protecting him at all costs.
And that's what I'm wondering. And again, some are very skittish about giving that information. HIPAA law, I don't know if that's a thing. but I could ask. I don't know if I would get the truth of like how bad, because I think that also determines whether or not he can win in Wembley or not. Because even on taking on Jeff Jarrett, a veteran like that, Jeff will take it easy with them, but it's still going to hurt. Looks like he's got a lot of like back issues or spine issues or tingling in the, like he's got some issues and he still wants to keep going. I think what he said in Greenville on Wednesday is true. Like his family probably doesn't want him to wrestle anymore, but he just keeps going.
Man, he can't help himself, man. He is a wrestling sicko. It's all to our benefit, yeah. But he is a wrestling sicko.
Yeah, I guess. I think that it's still determined. I don't think it's just a fait accompli that Danielson will win. I would like for him to be champion. 100%.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. It is certainly possible he loses that match. Speaking of possibilities, story number two this week, Shane McMahon spotted with a picture. Whether it was taken by Mercedes Moné or not, I guess still remains to be determined. I believe she was trying to take credit for it on social media that she's the one who took the picture. But a picture was leaked of Shane McMahon and Tony Khan in a meeting. A statement, I guess, was released through Bully Ray on Busted Open After Dark. We will get to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But are you interested in seeing Shane McMahon in AEW? Let's go ahead and see what that message was via Bully Ray on Busted Open After Dark last night.
The quote from Shane McMahon is, "Tony and I were connected through a mutual friend, and we had a great meeting. We talked about many things, but mostly about our shared love for the business and the rewards and challenges of working with family. I congratulate him on the 5-year anniversary of AEW and look forward to how he evolves the business moving forward." End quote from Shane McMahon through Bully Ray. Well,
any interest in Shane in AEW?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. But here's what I would do, Gabe. Not for him to be taking bumps and for him have a pulmonary attack with his red face every time he gets in the ring. I don't want that. Here's what I want. I would give him an equity stake in AEW and go, "You want a portion of this? Absolutely. You could have a share and you could run ROH however you see fit." Honest to God, because just having you, should he be on AEW TV? Sure. Wrestling? No. But to have a McMahon on AEW, it's a holy shit moment. The thing is, though, is that how many tickets does Shane McMahon, is he a person that will put butts in seats? That's the question. And I don't know the answer to that based on how AEW's business is. However, it could work in my company. Absolutely.
I feel like the answer is no, that he won't put butts in seats. I think it is a moment, because I remember, again, things went south pretty quickly with Shane, but when he first came back to WWE, like when Vince was going to give Stephanie whatever fake award and we were in the height of the authority era, right? And Vince comes out and all of a sudden you hear, "Here comes the money." But it was a legitimate, like you said, holy shit moment. Just,
yeah.
Wait, Shane's actually here, and he comes out and he ends up having his match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then they still welcome, like the stipulations then the next night on Monday night ended up not mattering at all. And Shane was still, you know, welcomed in with open arms, and it all kind of went downhill after that. But if he shows up in ROH or AEW, yeah, I think it's going to be a viral moment that is viewed by millions of people on social media and YouTube and all those things. But after the initial shock, I'm not quite sure what Shane's value is, because the last time we saw him in a WWE ring, he blew out both quads.
Yes.
Last time we heard about him backstage in WWE, Randy Orton was laughing in his face because he was organizing the Royal Rumble and the order got mixed up. And, you know, the story goes that Randy looked at Shane and went, "I ain't going out there to your music."
Oh, man.
Even though Randy was supposed to go, you know, like that was Randy's number. Wrong music played. Like, so he messed up backstage. He messed up in ring. I don't know what Shane McMahon's value is right now in the world of professional wrestling.
Put it this way. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure for Shane because all he's ever wanted to do is impress his father. Whether that's get in the ring, whether it's behind the scenes, everything he's done is try to impress Vince. Now, keep in mind, Vince loves his kids. However, he said this openly to Jim Ross. He goes, yeah, the boy's more like the mom and the daughter's more like me. Because from a business standpoint, you see how far that Stephanie has gone in that company, back and forth. I mean, obviously, it's been hot and cold over the years with Steph and WWE. But the point is, though, is that Shane's tried to measure up, and it hasn't been good enough for Vince. Now Vince is out the picture. And now Shane, if he wants to get back into professional wrestling, if he has a passion for it, then this is a great opportunity. Doesn't have to look over his shoulder. Doesn't have to worry about Bruce Pritchard. Doesn't have to worry about Kevin Dunn. Doesn't have to worry about Vince. Here's an opportunity here for him to have a clean slate and work in AEW. And again, not in the ring, Gabe. I'm talking about just like working in the company. I swear, I think he'd be great running a section of that company and people would watch. I do, because a McMahon is working with Khan. That's crazy.
And honestly, it'd probably be a good thing for now. And I'm not a member of, you know, Watch ROH or, you know, the Honor Club that you need.
Yes.
So I don't know what they're doing storyline wise. I don't know if they're just putting matches on there the way they just threw matches on the YouTube pages. I don't know what's the storylines and hooks, but Tony Khan taking something off his plate at this point, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, well, I'm here to help you with ROH. You know, I'm always here for you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're.
Got any intriguing stories going on in the world of Ring of Honor?
Well, listen, you're here for us for Rampage, and I'm your Rampage guy. So if you need some help, you know, it's what we talked about. It's matches. There's some stories here and there, but I mean, it's matches, and they're entertaining. Their last pay-per-view, Death Before Dishonor in Arlington, was solid. Again, too many matches. I think he had 12 or 13. But for me, I had to cherry-pick the ones I want to watch. Fast forward, rewind, fast forward. Okay, cue it up. So that's what it is. So what I'm saying is that Shane being part of AEW will be amazing. It will melt the internet that a McMahon is working with the Tony Khan. And besides, who knows the real relationship between Shane and Triple H?
Do you think we see Shane in AEW? I guess we'll morph the question of, do you have any interest, to, do you think it actually could happen?
Yes, I do. Because you saw that picture, Gabe. I mean, very odd how that picture was taken. And it, all of a sudden, it just kind of leaked. Really? I mean, if you're Tony Khan...
Mercedes said it was her.
Well, if you're the boss, you say, don't put that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you?
The question has always been, how much control does Tony actually have?
There's no way that was something that was just a lark. There's no way that just like, oh, we'll just take this action picture. Oh, there's Shane standing behind the seat. And oh, there's Tony. It was put out there on purpose.
Tony was definitely like posing for the picture.
Yeah, it was on purpose. And by the way, that's how you get buzz. People are talking about it. But just the idea that Bully got that quote, and boy, that seems like that was like legal. Who writes a text like that? What I just read for you? Legal, wasn't it? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Run that statement through a lawyer. Say something, but don't really say anything at all.
I love the idea of Shane starting fresh. And you're right. We've seen this several times where Shane goes, you know, comes to the ring. We haven't seen him for a while in this big ovation because people thought at the time that that's the cool McMahon. There's a guy that wears a suit with Jordans. There's a guy there that's got a kid in college. All this stuff, right? Because he was the cool McMahon. Not Stephanie, not Vince, but Shane. And now, what's Shane now? 52, 53? Still wearing the Jordans.
When you remember when they let him win that Best in the World tournament?
Yes.
Yes. So bad.
Yeah. So bad. When Hamilton was so like, best in the world.
Yeah, like he had to like direct him the entire time. It was just It was like X-Pac go away heat, man. Like it wasn't the heat they thought they were getting for it.
It was bad. It was bad creative. But you know what though? To see Shane McMahon in that light without Vince over his shoulder, I think would be pretty cool.
I think it would be interesting to see. You know what? I think you've talked me into, at the very least, Shane being there without the worry of his father would at least be interesting. At the very least, it'd be interesting. It could be good. It might be good. But it's definitely interesting.
It would bring people... Again, I don't know if that fills an arena, but it certainly gets more interest in AEW that someone that's in a family filled with controversy is now working for the competition.
He's a big enough name that honestly, I think you could drive subscriptions off of that. Like even though he's not like if he shows up at All In and he's now a new, he's the vice president of Ring of Honor and Shane's running Ring of Honor. And we actually know that, okay, Shane's in charge of the creative. He's going to be running this company like as part of AEW. I'd subscribe for a couple of months. Hey, let's see what Shane can do. And then if it's good, you keep going. If it's not, you know, I'd end the subscription. But I think I honestly would throw my money at Ring of Honor going, all right, let's see what he can do. I would be curious enough.
And because you and I also cover the business of the wrestling media business, who knows what ROH is going to be? Will they be baked into bread with this new deal from Warner Brothers Discovery? Will ROH finally get off of that platform and be part of an HBO Max, part of whatever TBS and TNT is going to be, finally to take it off of this platform and say, here's another wrestling company for you. Here's more content. Who knows what that is? Because the last press conference I saw from Tony Khan, Tony said, yeah, I can see us calling this AEW ROH. He said in the press conference, Gabe, yeah, I'm like, huh? So he realizes that the ROH brand is stagnant at best. When we named our 9 champion world champions across the wrestling landscape, unfortunately, Briscoe was last because you don't see him. He's behind that paywall. Like GCW's champion with Mance Warner has more acclaim and more notoriety than the ROH champion. Even though we see him on Dynamite, you know, going crazy. But as far as a champion, he's buried, just like the rest of them there, unfortunately.
Finally, today we end once again with SummerSlam, here with story number 3. What is the bigger story? What are we kicking off our recap show with on Saturday after SummerSlam in Cleveland? Is it the Bloodline or is it Punk and Drew?
Because that's a trick question, because now this determines what's going to be the main event of SummerSlam, you know? So I would agree with you that it is going to be the Bloodline. Having said that, it is going to be the Bloodline, knowing that Roman, Paul, and Jimmy Uso return, or at least 2 of those 3 return.
Mm-hmm.
So to me... They'll roll with Solo. They'll roll with Cody Rhodes. There'll be a shit ton of interference, which is unfortunate because who are Cody's friends that's going to help him? Is Randy healthy by that time? Is Kevin Owens healthy by that time? We're going right back to the beginning with this storyline. Cody against the world, right?
Well, but, I mean, the interesting twist would be Roman and Paul returning to defend Cody.
There you go. And so do they help Cody beat Solo Sikoa, or does Cody just win clean and then here comes Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman to confront Solo Sikoa? Holy shit moment, you know, face to face, and then fade to black. No physicality.
Yeah. I mean, leave it to mystery, and then you've got to tune into SmackDown on Friday night. Punk Drew is interesting to me because this is just the beginning of the feud, right? Like this isn't going to be their only match. I mean, somebody had asked a question to Punk at Clash of the Castle about, oh man, first time you guys get in the ring, it's going to be like Hell in a Cell, right? I just start right there. And Punk made the joke of, well, glad I'm not working for you, or this is why you don't book for a wrestling company. It just feels like this is the very beginning. Like eventually, yes, we're going to get to a dog collar or Hell in a Cell or cage match, whatever stipulation you want to throw on the end. But Seth Rollins' special guest referee is just the very beginning of this feud. We're nowhere near this thing being blown off yet.
Gabe, will Seth be refereeing in those heels?
I don't know. I don't think I liked his shirt. I hope that's not what he's wrestling. I hope he's not refereeing in that shirt. I hope, like, yeah, I found the whole thing distracting.
Sir, like, that's a blouse.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know it's a blouse. It's what your Aunt Louise would wear at the family reunion. That's exactly what he was wearing. He's wearing a blouse, and he always toes that line of you don't know what androgynous outfit he's going to wear, but that's exactly what we saw. That man had a referee's blouse on.
He's going to wear, I mean, it's going to be a regular, like, he'll have his, you know, his wrestling pants out because he's going to be taking bumps. Like, he's not going to want to be taking bumps in that outfit, right? I got to imagine that's going to be tougher.
I don't know. I don't know. I just, this Punk and Drew McIntyre match, I'm saying this for the first time. It scares me a little bit, Gabe. You know why? Because I'm hoping this is not a one-off, and I'm hoping that both guys, especially Punk, can stay healthy. Because you're right. When you have a rivalry like this, one-fall match, there's no real stipulation, just one fall. Okay, so it's this match, no disqualification match, it's a cage match or Hell in the Cell match, and then the blow-off. Or, you know, lumberjack match back in the day. It would be always stiff, stiff, stiffs until you get to the finale, which is a cage match or Hell in the Cell. I'm hoping that CM Punk can survive this. I'm not kidding, because there's actual heat between the two. They actually don't like each other going back to years ago, last time CM Punk was here. We are learning this story as we go along, like, oh, they really don't really like each other. Okay, what I'm hoping is with everything that Drew McIntyre has done, and I know that you've seen this, and I know that our listeners and viewers have seen this as well, Drew McIntyre is in the running to me for Wrestler of the Year because of everything that he's done, not only in the ring, but also in social media. He's built this by himself while Punk has been on the mend. For weeks, he's been doing this. Like, I'm going to go to the bakery in Chicago. I'm going to work out to CM Punk's old music when he's on the indies. He does all this stuff, man, just to get under
his head. He had a picture with Jack Perry.
There you go.
He put it on social media. It's still up there. You can go look at it. They didn't delete it. They referenced it on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's him. It's him building this. Building it. And so my hope is that Punk, after this, however this happens, he can survive this. Because if he gets hurt again.
Well, because, I mean, this match has to start off like somebody's jumping somebody. Like, it's not starting off with circle the ring, you know, you're not grappling, you know, to start the match. And then, oh, a little headlock. No, this is a killer feud that starts with the second one of them knows that bell rings, they're going after the other one, right? Like, this isn't going to start. So it's going to be a little more physical of a match. And yes, I think that's understandable that you would be a little bit concerned about CM Punk.
Because you want to see this go on.
Yeah, because it's been so good. But that being said, like, Bloodline's still the biggest thing. Because Punk Drew, as we mentioned, it's the beginning. We already have the beginning stages. We kind of know what the future of it looks like. Who's returning? Who's coming back for the Bloodline? And there's going to be some sort of shocking return. Unless there's some sort of shocking interference, you know, with Punk and Drew. It's not going to top the return of Roman or Paul or Jimmy or maybe a different member of the Bloodline shows up and debuts for WWE. Who knows what they have planned, but they're going to have something big planned for the Bloodline, which is why it's going to be the main event and why it's going to be the most talked about thing. Drew Punk has the potential, if everybody stays healthy, to steal the show and be like the match that everybody talks about. But the Bloodline is going to be the storyline everybody talks about coming out of SummerSlam.
Let me tell you something. This matchup with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, wherever it's placed in the card, semi-main, middle, start the show, whatever, it's going to be very difficult to follow. It's got the most heat. It's got the most heat. You could put this as a semi-main, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, like everything that happens, however this ends, and then put Cody and Solo in the ring, and that will just fall flat. It will. It'll be very difficult to follow because, like, that's the number one out of everything that's going on. Judgment Day, Bloodline, you know what's going on with Gunther and LA Knight and Logan Paul, all this stuff. Nothing's hotter than this. It's the hottest thing in the summer.
So do you kick off the show with that?
Oh my God. I don't know.
So that's okay. Let's say Cody Solo ends the show. What's kicking off the show?
Well, listen, I believe that Punk and McIntyre should be the main event of it, of the whole show. But as what you said, if Roman's around, that can't be the main event of the show.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Roman's not making a surprise return in the middle of the card.
No, it's not. No. I mean, even Liv and Rhea with this love triangle, that has a lot of heat too.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I think that has to go. I think Liv and Rhea, if Dom is going to align himself with Liv, which I think we all assume is happening, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
So if that happens, that has to happen after Gunther versus Priest, right? Or is Priest going to be distracted because there's a breakup going on in the bloodline while he's wrestling his match? The order of this card to me is fascinating. Like how they're going to put this thing together.
So, okay, well, I made an error here. Well, I think that Bron Breakker is going to win the Intercontinental Championship. I forgot that Ilya Dragunov's in this match too. So that could lead off the show. The IC title. If you have a title change early, fast like that, like, oh, wow, that's a great way to start off the show, that Bron Breakker is the new Intercontinental Champion. From there, you know, you got to get your Bayley Nia Jackson. That's a good middle of the card match or early match, 2-3 on the card maybe. And then now you start to get your heat with Logan Paul and LA Knight. That's a good third match.
Well, so like the problem with Triple H cards, where's like the filler match where I can go to the bathroom and grab some popcorn and maybe a beer? Like, I don't know.
That's the key.
I mean, I don't, where is that match? It doesn't exist when you only have 7 on the card.
Sorry, man. You don't get your Hechicero against Hologram match if you win an AEW. Sorry.
With 14 matches on the card, it's like, okay, you know what? I just need a break. I know this is a good match, but there have been so many other good matches. Just as long as I don't miss Ospreay, I'm going to go take care of business. I don't know what you do if you're going to SummerSlam. I really don't.
It's like you said, though, that like there's got to be a tag team match in there.
I think they're going to add an 8th match. I think they're going to add Bloodline versus DIY. Although DIY's not winning that match.
No, I think that might be off the card though. Because did you see this a 3-hour pre-show? 3-hour pre-show. I don't know.
Because they're trying to keep because AEW is now not going head to head. They're starting 2 hours earlier with Collision on Saturday, so they're not going head-to-head with SummerSlam, which is just smart. So WWE went, oh, okay, well, we're just going to run counter to that. We're going to have something going on. So, I mean, a three-hour pre – I mean, this isn't the Super Bowl, man. Like, I'm not
– The show's good. It ain't special like that. It's pretty solid.
3-hour pregame? You only have 7 matches on the card. Like, you can't have a pregame longer than the actual card.
I know that they're working – well, this is going to come to an end, but I know they're doing some production with Fox anytime you get a Tom Rinaldi piece that because I saw that last roll. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty good, right? But you're really stretching 3 hours to be able to culminate to summer. I know it's a PLE, but it ain't that good. It's good, right?
It's good. Like 3-hour pregame?
I thought AEW was a pissant company. Why are they concerned with them?
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
See? I mean, it's no reason for WWE to do that. Like, I know you want to crush your competition, but even AEW steps aside. I don't know if I would have done that. I'm a competitor, but I understand the point.
I don't want to see JBL for 3 hours.
Yeah, we won't be tuning in. You know what? You don't learn anything there.
No, because all the video packages, they're going to play during the card anyway.
You know what's funny? None of that stuff, by the way, it's all – you think the WWE's changed with their announcers, right? And it's true. Like Michael Cole and Pat McAfee do a great job. I think SmackDown does a great job with Corey Graves and Wade Barrett. But you want to see what WWE used to be? Watch that pregame show. It's as mechanical as it was when Vince was there.
Yeah, it's tough. So we mentioned the collision change on Saturday. That kicks off news and notes. But also in the world of AEW, CM Punk spoke on AEW showing All In, made a quip about being, you know, being a draw in two companies, but just also kind of felt like it was all unnecessary, the way we all felt it was unnecessary when they showed the All In footage from last year.
It did not help business at all, and this is just the Young Bucks being petty. I mean, they did this because they wanted to take a shot back at CM Punk in that interview that he had with Ariel Helwani. There was no reason to do it. But the hope is that CM Punk can just let that roll off his back. I know Jimmy Trania was going to ask him that question. No, he's going to – am I keeping you up? I know he's going to ask that question. There's a guy that works mornings. There he is right there. That's why this is my third cup of coffee for today.
Need some of that iced coffee I've got downstairs.
So, you know, that question was going to come up, but hopefully that just rolls off his back. He's in a good spot. Hopefully he can be happy in WWE for a long time.
Well, he wants to sign like a lifetime deal and be around NXT. And I mean, everything you hear from the WWE camp coming out about Punk, it's all sunshine and roses right now.
Until Punk's asked to lose. And then now we have a 3-hour podcast from Colt Cabana. So that's talking about the son-in-law's an asshole.
Speaking of sunshines and rainbows, Goldberg was talking recently, and he said that after speaking with Tony Khan, because he was in some sort of negotiation to potentially join, be a part of the farewell tour for Sting, obviously it didn't come to fruition, but he said Tony Khan reminds him of Dixie Carter. Also said, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but that's just what I thought.
That's, boy, that is a shot at Tony Khan. It certainly is. Dixie Carter, so here's why he said that. Dixie Carter in TNA was friends with everybody. And she would always check social media. And whatever social media says, that's what that TNA should have done. And it drove Jeff Jarrett and Jim Cornette and those people crazy. Like, why are you so concerned with the internet? Well, they say we should sign him. And they say we should sign her. And they say that, you know, all this stuff, right? And like, because she had no wrestling knowledge, so she would just go to the internet and see what people said on Twitter. Tony Khan, also a lot on Twitter, fighting with people. We've seen this from time to time. Also gets along with everybody. And we've heard from CM Punk and others how disorganized it is and how he's more of a friend than a boss. So that's where the parallel is. I don't know how Goldberg would know that, since he's never worked at either company, but he did say it.
Yeah. Again, I don't even. Yeah, that's a great point. Like, at least he's met, you know, we know he's met with Tony Khan. I don't know about his relationship with Dixie Carter, but here we are. Kurt Angle, meanwhile, said he turned down an offer from WWE to be Riddle's manager. Something you wanted to see, the Olympic gold medal, who 28 years ago yesterday won his Olympic gold in Atlanta with a broken freaking neck. But yep. He said he turned down an offer to be Riddle's manager.
Yeah. I don't know what that looks like. You know, Kurt Angle there and just kind of stone-faced and serious. And you have Matt Riddle going down with his flip-flops and just like broing his way down. Not sure why that would be a fit. You know, we saw Kurt Angle in a suit every week as a general manager. I thought that that was beneath him as well. Like, Kurt has proven that he can be terrific as a funny guy, as a serious person, as a great wrestler. But there is no need for him to be the manager of the bro man. That would have been a fit.
Didn't make sense to me. So that brings us, Jay Hood, what'd you have down? Matches of the week.
Can I read my own handwriting without my glasses? By God. How about Darby Allin against Hangman on Wednesday in Greenville, the main event for AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, all over the arena. Especially after going through Blood and Guts last week, that was a very impressive match, especially again, the way they were all over, and Darby's so good. Even if it's, I mean, because I wouldn't say that Hangman Adam Page is like this big brute of a wrestler, right? Like, he's a decent set, but the way that everybody can just throw Darby around, it's always fascinating. Like, he did the suplex on the stairs where he kind of, you know, I, It was very entertaining. Very, very good.
When that match was over, I screamed out loud, Hangman loses again? That's what I was thinking. Like, all the work he's put in with that character, and he loses to Darby Allin. I don't know what it says, Gabe Neitzel, when you watch Dynamite, watch that match. And it wasn't cheers, it wasn't boos, it was just the crowd was just, like, silent. Not mm-hmm. like they weren't into it, but just, like, concerned for Darby Allin. That's when he got the audience, because he got bounced around like a pinata so badly. It's just people were just concerned, like, is this guy even going to survive tonight?
Well, did you do Lance Archer lost again as well? I had that on there. I don't know what this guy's got to do. I mean, the only people who lose more on television are the Chicago White Sox than the Murder Hawk Monster. Like, it's unbelievable how much this dude loses. I couldn't tell you the last time he had a televised win.
As a Sox fan, I do not take that as an insult at all. Not at all.
I thought you would take it in stride.
I did, as I do most things, because this summer has been very difficult, as you well know. Very difficult. I'm going to see the worst team in the history of baseball this year. It's so great. Such a great summer. At least the beer is cold. So Willow against Statlander, where Statlander wins. I don't know where Statlander goes from here. I know that these two have a rivalry. Willow, that loss did not hurt her. I just don't know, like, what's happening with Statlander. Where does
It was a CMLL eliminator match, so now Stat gets another match for the championship. I guess I just assumed that they would end up throwing that on the card at All In.
Why is there qualifiers for a different company on Dynamite? Why are we doing this? Come on, brother.
I'm not telling you it's a good idea. I'm just telling you that's what happened. What I'm assuming is happening next. I'm not saying I agree with it.
I mean, you're doing qualifying matches on someone else's TV. Like, do it on their TV. Why does it have to be on your TV? Like, the matchup for itself is a good match. CMLL? Are you setting it up for Wrestle Dream? Is that what you're doing? I don't know. I don't understand. Is that match? I don't understand.
I assume that match, the rematch for the championship, will happen at All In. They didn't say it one way or the other, but that's just my assumption. I did enjoy the Gauntlet SmackDown tag team match from last Friday. I thought that was really good. Really good work. And look, I have no idea what the heck is going to happen with the Street Profits. I wasn't expecting them to win. I'm glad they got to look great and gain as many pinfalls as they did, because look, you knew the Bloodline was going to come in. You knew they're going to come in last, and then they were just going to wreak havoc over whoever was left in the ring. And that's exactly what happened, but it was a great job. Again, Jacob Fatu is that guy. If him and Roosh are ever in the same room together, man, that's going to be a hell of a match. But I don't know what happens with them, because they were aligned with Bobby Lashley. We know that Bobby Lashley's contract is coming to a close in WWE. We haven't seen Bobby Lashley on TV, so now it's just the two of them and B-Fab, and I don't know what's next for them. And it's when we started the show, we thought that they were going to be breaking up as a tag team, and Montez Ford was going to be getting this huge run as a single, and that obviously has just never happened over the course of the time that we've been doing GKW.
No, but please show us more Karrion Kross. Please do that, because we all want to see that. Really? So Montez Ford can't get a singles run and really take off. And nothing against Dawkins, because Dawkins could go too. But if you're not going to put the Street Profits in the tag team title picture, then split them up and let them be terrific singles. And I just think that they're stagnant. And by the way, you could just tell it was a small crew on SmackDown. And I had this written down too, the tag team SmackDown gauntlet. It's a short crew in Japan when we see a lot of Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin. A lot.
They came out and like, what's going on? Oh, they're fighting Umberto and Garza? That's what they're doing here? Ooh. What is going on?
Not all those lockers are used on SmackDown. You could tell. Everyone else was in Japan like, anybody want to do a tag team gauntlet? All right, just roll them out here. Apollo.
They took the dust off the Good Brothers and put them out there.
You can just tell. Like, oh, man. But I enjoyed it. You know,
it was fantastic. It was spectacular.
You know, I love tag team wrestling, so I thought that was fun. Gunther against Finn Balor, the main event of Raw, was very good as well.
Yeah, I had that down as well. Very good on Friday night. All right. SummerSlam, it's coming your way. Coming your way on Saturday night from Cleveland. Do not forget, we are going to be doing a live reaction show. So make sure you're commenting, subscribing on YouTube. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. It's on the bottom of the screen here. If you're watching on YouTube or on social media, if you're listening to it, hey, check us out. Watch the video coming up on Saturday. We're looking forward to it. We'll talk to you again on Saturday for SummerSlam right here on GKW.